How everybody, I'm an addict. My name is Nikki. And I was hoping all y'all were going to go to the dance. And as usual, the way I think things should go is never the way that they go. I can sit? Okay, good. I wasn't nervous until about an hour ago. I was on my way down the road, and I didn't know you need to check in or whatever as a speaker or whatever that stuff is. And they almost gave the spot away, and I wasn't real upset about it, you know. And not because I don't have a sponsor, and not because I don't sponsor people or, you know, have a sponsor that has a sponsor. It's just that I decided that this was harder than I thought it was going to be, you know. Sponsorship, friend or foe. One thing I do love about NA, we do have a different vocabulary. I don't know about anybody else, but I never used the word foe before. I read about it in English class. I know that if you go to a gladiator movie, you have a foe, you know. But in my life, when I didn't like people or didn't like something, foe is not the word that I would have used. Right. I'd have used a B word, an M word, you know, or something with some grit to it, you know. And but, you know, foe. What I do remember about my sponsor in the beginning when I first came around, my clean date is September the 25th, 1990. And my first sponsor, who is my sponsor now, strangely enough, and she wasn't my sponsor the whole time that I've been here. So she's been my friend and my foe. The first year, when we went over the first steps, you know, steps 1, 2, and 3, and she helped me with my powerlessness and coming to believe. Friends, you know, she took me to dances, family. We went to meetings all over. It was when we got to that fourth step stuff that she was not my friend. And foe is not the word I called her, you know. And and she wanted this in-depth kind of thing, you know. And I came here educated, you know. I was a school teacher in Baltimore City for about 10-15 years, and I got some letters, you know, that on a piece of paper that says I can do some things. And so when I got ready to do that fourth step, you know, I thought that you know, I was just gonna breeze over it, really, you know, just put down a little bit of stuff. And you know, and she brought to my attention that it had to be thorough and moral and all of those things. So needless to say, we weren't friends. And then I got into a relationship, you know, and I ain't going to call it an N.A. relationship. I don't even know about relationship. I ain't used that word before I got here either. You know, he was my boyfriend. We went together. I don't know about y'all, but that's what we said, you know. And she had some information that she wanted to give me about this relationship, and it was that I had decided to feel what this person was feeling. I had no emotions of my own. You know, if he was happy, I was happy. If he was sad, I was sad. You know, basically, I was going to be whatever I needed to be to make this work. And she had some information to give me, and the information was that I needed to be my own person, and I was codependent. Now, again, this is not my friend talking. You know, this is my enemy. We at war. And we're on the phone while this conversation is going on, and she's letting me know that, you know, my priorities are in order, and my sponsor is here, and she's 4'11". I'm 6 feet tall. If y'all think I wanted this 4 foot person telling me, about me, I didn't like it, you know. And so we got into the screaming match on the phone. And we had been good girlfriends, you know. And we got in the screaming match. And the next thing I knew, and I'm not a fighter, I was putting on my tennis. And I was on my way up the street. And that was like, you know, Della Reese in that movie, you know, Harlem Nights. Bring it on. You know, we were going to fight about this thing. And it was real for me. You know, it was like, this person is not my friend. She does not have my interests at heart. How can she tell me about me? And what I came to understand, you know, after after I invited her outside to fight, she didn't come, you know. And not that she wouldn't have, because she would love to fight, you know. But she didn't come because it wasn't necessary for her to. You know, I needed to bring that anger up and decide for myself that I wasn't ready, you know, to do the work that I needed to do. And so what happened was I proceeded to get some, you know, other kind of sponsors, and I sponsored people too. And I thought, you know, I needed to be your good girlfriend. You know, my first time I sponsored somebody, you know, we gonna be buddies, and I'm not gonna hurt your feelings, and we just gonna go around to different meetings, you know, and I'm gonna smile real nice, and you know, I just wasn't gonna have any meat because my sponsor I felt had been kind of tough, you know, so I was gonna be this easygoing person. And what was happening was, and not that it was like my fault, but the women I was sponsoring, they were going in and out, you know, and I realized that I wasn't helping them, you know, because I wasn't telling them the truth. And not that I was needed to be judgmental or any of those things, but some of the things that I was discussing with them were not the 12 steps. And that's what sponsorship is, a person to guide you through the 12 steps, you know, and the traditions. And some of that other stuff that I was mixed up in was none of my business. I had no experience in it. You know, my sponsor, she a lab. She used to give me advice on stuff she hadn't even experienced, you know. And I decided that as these women were coming into my life, you know, nothing was sticking and staying, that I was a fake person, and I wasn't doing them any good. So the best thing I could do was to go back to the book and read about sponsorship and read the pamphlet, you know. And that's when the help came, you know, for me. I've had several different sponsors, but this, the one that I have now, she pretty much sticks out, you know, more than any of. I have had sponsors of different sexual identities, you know. That was an issue for some people. How could you have a gay sponsor? I don't know about anybody else, but just because my sponsor was gay, I don't think gay people are attracted to everybody, just like I'm not attracted to everybody. You know, and so a hug from her didn't mean a sexual hug, and if you had a problem with it, that was your problem. You know, at that particular time, that person was teaching me about a side of life that was truly unfamiliar to me, and if we talk about being unconditional, that was the first place that I needed to learn, you know. And that woman introduced me to conventions and just some different things, you know. And then the next sponsor I had, you know, after that, that relationship was very brief, because I treated that person as if they were my enemy. You know, I decided that I wasn't going to trust and tell the truth, and so I didn't get my help. And through that experience, I started getting some help outside the rooms. And you all told me that I could do that, that everything I need is not exactly in here. So I got some happy pills, and I don't know if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, Zoloft, Prozac, Wellbutrin. I got some happy pills that I take gladly. You know, I discussed it with my sponsor when the doctor thought that I needed to take that medication. And, you know, some people have some different philosophies about medication in recovery, but my experience has been, and at that time my sponsor's experience was, this is a physician prescribing medication. And that if you are auto mechanic, you know about cars. And if you're a school teacher, you know about teaching school. But if you're not a doctor, you don't know about medication. So gladly, I take my happy pills and I go to therapy, I guess twice a month. And here lately, my sponsor has me reading the third step in the morning and at night, because the world just doesn't turn the way I want it to turn. Y'all just don't act like I want y'all to act. You're not reading the script. I directed each one of you to do different things, and you're not participating. And I'm pissed off about it, you know. And so as I'm whining to my sponsor, I used to be a crier when I first came in. I cried about everything. I cried about being happy. I was sad, you know. And now the tears don't come as readily as they used to. Now I get angry. And so as the anger comes, you know, my sponsor has me reading this third step about turning stuff over. it's not easy. You know, it really isn't easy for me to turn anything over. And I do have a God in my understanding, and I truly have trusted that he will, you know, bring me along. But in the interim, things just don't seem to be happening at the way that, you know, and at the rate that I want them to happen. And I find that when I go in meetings and I share about, you know, my disappointment, that's my word for 2001. I am disappointed. So I have my great friends that share with me that, you know, I'm not grateful enough. Well, that just goes, you know, right up something. And then, you know, there's these other folks that, you know, tell me, you know, their experience and that, you know, I need to do some more work on the sixth step. And all those things are probably very valid, but at that particular time, I just needed someone to listen for me to say the word, I'm disappointed. It was just as simple as that, and my sponsor did that for me. You know, she let me say it without judging me, without trying to fix it. And then as we talk more and more about it, you know, the third step has truly helped to ease the disappointment. My biggest fear in recovery is not using anymore. My biggest fear in recovery is going crazy. I don't know about nobody else. That's my fear, being a lunatic in recovery. I have visited people on the psych ward in recovery. You know, I don't steal anymore, so I'm not afraid of jail. I ain't gonna say I don't lie, but I don't know where you go when you lie. I don't know where they send you, liars, something. I don't know, but I you know, that don't matter. You know, but my biggest fear is being crazy in recovery. And the steps are really the only thing that has been able to give me some kind of peace that I do have the hope of not being crazy in recovery. Suffering from depression, that fear of doom, that not going to get what you want to get, you know, and to be able to have a woman in my life that is my friend, that lets me know that I deserve all that I want. But the faux pas comes in when she tells me I may not get it, and I have to try to learn how to be okay with it as it is at this particular minute. And that's not what I want to hear, you know, but that's the reality of it. Truly, sponsorship, sponsoring other women has been a joy. It's been a joy because for the first time probably in my 40-some years, I'm probably the most me that I've ever been. Whatever that is, I'm the most of it that I've ever been. And sponsorship has allowed me to understand about being a good friend, how to be one, how to treat other people. Sponsorship has allowed me to know that my sponsor also needs me. And sometimes I need to be her friend and her foe. You know, we were talking the other day on the phone, and she was saying something to me, and I just said, you know, if you don't stop all that yin-yang and just get to the exact nature, and that wasn't me. That was something that she had taught me to say, you know, the exact nature. Because I'd have popped it if she'd have said it to me, you know, but that's where it was, and we laughed about it because we got an opportunity to see how the thing goes back and forth, you know. And a lot of times the women that I sponsor, you know, when I see them and they say, I'm going to call you, you don't need to give me that excuse every time you see me. Sometimes I just want to say hi. You know, I really am okay with you not calling me for real because I'm self-absorbed, selfish. It's a full-time job being me. So when you're not calling me with your stuff, I'm quite pleased, really. You know, I mean, I like to say that I'm this, you know, but I'm not. And my stuff is complicated. So, you know, if you're not calling me with that little day-to-day stuff, I'm, like, real all right with it. You know, I come from the, you know, no news is good news kind of philosophy, you know, and you know, and I'm being facetious about it, but that's who I am, you know. I love to hear from you, but I understand, you know, people have lives. And that every time you see me, think you need to, you know, come up with something wonderful to say. I really ain't listening past all of that personally, you know. And I love it when, you know, somebody shares something with you, you know, especially, you know, Fonty shares some deep embedded secret. And 5 minutes after the end of shared it, I done forgot it, you know. And so it makes me laugh at myself because I know I hold stuff, and I be thinking, I don't want to tell her that, you know. And if she got a life like I got a life, 10 minutes down the road, another phone call has happened, and she done forgot all that deep-rooted whatever I thought. And it is not this big deal like, you know, like I thought it was. And I just enjoy the fact that I get to see myself, you know, as a sponsor. I have one sponsee who loves to call in the middle of the day, so she can talk to the answering machine. And I have a job now where on Mondays I telecommute. I work at home. And so I noticed that she picks Mondays to call. So when I look at the call ID and see her, you know, see the number, and I pick up the phone, you know, and I'm like, hi, she real messed up. Because she was going to give me this spiel on the answering machine about everything's fine, I'm fine, you fine, we fine, all fine, and hang up. You know, and so the fact that I answered the phone, that means she, you know, got to talk, right? And I get the biggest kick out of that because I know that's what I did. You know, I remember early in recovery, my sponsor said, call every day for 30 days. Whether I'm home or not, talk to the answering machine, you know, and I did it. You know, whatever, you know, what she said do, I did. In the beginning, I was just that hungry, just that beat up, just that messed up, you know, just that tired. And, but as the years have gone on, some of those fix-it things, I don't want to do them as readily, you know. Now our latest battle is the sixth step. And, okay, I'm entirely ready, yeah. And that was, I thought I was done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to list them. You know, that's it. I'm entirely ready, you know. And and she politely told me, no, that's not all. And we've been at war about the sixth step, you know. And the war has been my war. It ain't her war, you know. The war is some of those things I just guess I'm just not as ready as I thought I would be to let them go, you know. Again, I never used the word foe, and my sponsor and I drove down here together, and we laughed all the way. It was a guy we followed, and he had one of them walkie-talkie things, you know. It was like, you know how complicated we are. We made this real, like, caravan coming down, and, you know, I got your back door, good buddy, and, you know, and all that old foolishness. Like, we were going across country, and we were going 3 hours to Ocean City. But I let them go through that experience and have a grand old time with it because this is about fun. You know, today some of us can go in Radio Shack and buy toys. You know, we got more beepers and cell phones and pagers and walkie-talkies and, you know, and all those things, you know. Today we can enjoy them, you know, and to watch those two like kids. You remember how kids used to play with the telephone with the string? To watch the two of them, silly as they could be, coming down the highway, that gave me joy, you know, because then my sponsor is not way up here. My sponsor is a kid again, enjoying life, enjoying recovery, and remembering to laugh, you know, because recovery does not have to be morbid, you know. It just doesn't have to be. And I love to laugh, you know. I remember being in that rehab the first time I laughed out loud. I scared myself. Crack has stopped me from laughing. I don't know about y'all, but I was not laughing. You know, at the end, when I was barring ashes from the guy next door. Oh, nobody don't know about that. I went next door with the foil on the thing and said, can I borrow ashes? I ain't even asked the man for a cigarette. I just wanted the ashes. I ain't want to waste my time smoking no cigarettes. It wasn't funny at the end. You know, it just wasn't. And it wasn't funny. I don't know about y'all, but it wasn't funny. And so to hear my sponsor laugh and to hear me laugh with her, that does me joy, you know. I just don't have no real complaints about sponsorship, except I'm real messed up when I don't have one. I need a sponsor because I need a script. I need a map. I need a diagram. I need somebody that was either there before me, that can walk me through it, or can direct me to some help. You know, that's why I have a sponsor that has a sponsor. You know, I don't know, today she's not my foe. Today she's my friend. Tomorrow we may be scrapping on the parking lot, and it will pass. You know, it's just not as earth-shattering as it used to be. You know, people have disagreements. I don't know about y'all, but I thought that was the worst thing to do, to have a disagreement. You know, I wanted to agree with you so you would like me. I never wanted to buck it. And if you were a female friend of mine, I really wanted to go along. You know, I just didn't want you to see that I had my own opinion. I was afraid. And to have another woman in my life that allows me to be myself, and I allow her to be herself, and she teaches me how to help other women be themselves, that's a blessing. You know, that's truly a blessing. This is the first time I've been down here since 1992. I had to look at the back of a magnet on the refrigerator to remember when was the last time I had been to a NA convention down here. You know, I always thought that this convention was, I don't know, I guess I never thought that, I never thought I was worthy to be at this convention. That's the reality of it. I could come up with some big dictionary word, but that's the reality of it. My self-esteem wouldn't let me enjoy being here. I was worried about what y'all thought, what I thought y'all thought y'all thought, what I hoped y'all thought, and what I thought y'all was telling them to think. You know, I just couldn't have a good time here. I really couldn't, you know. I couldn't even have fun in the dance because I was too busy trying to remember if I could dance not using, you know, if I could find the beat, you know, like y'all kid if I got rhythm, you know, but I just don't remember being able to be myself and have a good time, you know. And to come back after this many years, and it's truly has to be because of a God and a sponsor and some steps, and you people, to feel okay, to not look at the ground, you know, to not want to hide. Again, I'm 6 feet tall. I don't know how you hide in a meeting if you're 6 feet, but I tried very hard. You know, I thought if I stood in the corner and was just quiet enough, you all wouldn't notice me and you would leave me alone. And if I crossed my arms across my chest, you truly weren't going to come and hug me, you know. And if I gritted long enough, maybe y'all would just go away. You know, I just hoped y'all would just go away. And now I don't want you all to go. You know, for all life's bumps and bruises, I didn't get the husband yet I wanted. I didn't get the Corvette yet that I wanted. I ain't even got the fact that I still gotta work for a living. I'm still striving for that. You know, trying to figure out how to get a trust fund or something. I don't know, you know, but a rich relative, something, you know, and because I ain't one of them people that's addicted to work. That's not my issue. And, you know, if they say you can pick up your check and not come, I'm there, you know. And, you know, to have all that I have and to not have all that I thought I wanted, I'm still reasonably okay. You know, reasonably okay. But if I didn't have a sponsor who I couldn't be myself with, I don't think I could be okay. And I don't want that experience. I had that gap of not having one. And I really didn't enjoy this thing at all too much. So, see, somebody got some things that beep and do something. So, so you know, I can't speak on any more about this. I could beat it to death. But for those of you who don't have a sponsor, get one, even if it's a temporary one. You know, if you don't know how to ask someone to be your sponsor, just be around them a lot. They'll figure it out. If every time they look you there, they'll say, you must want me to sponsor you. And, you know, and if somebody point out somebody to you and say, that'd be a good person for you, go for it. They might know something more than you know. And if it doesn't work out, the good news is you can pick somebody else. You know, and I mean, we get mad. I get mad about stuff, but for real, we, you know, it all passes. you know, it all passes somehow or another. I just enjoy this, and I'm really glad that I was able to come. Thank you, Eric, for asking me to speak. I really didn't think that an hour ago or however long ago I was. I wasn't thanking you at all. And I really wasn't concerned about the topic because I knew as a member of Narcotics Anonymous, whatever topic they gave, I knew I had some experience in it. Good, bad, or indifferent. So, you know, it was going to be all right either way. And I guess I'm glad y'all ain't go to the dance. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Nikki, everybody. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Ulysses.
My name's Ulysses, and I'm an addict, y'all. And it's only through His grace and His mercy that I'm here, and I'm truly, truly grateful for that. And I try to show it more so in my walk than in my talk, because the mouth will say anything, but behaviors don't lie. And I say that for me, because I always have to remind myself, you know, because I came into this program suffering from a terminal coolness and know-it-all-ism. I had to answer to cancer, you know. And, you know, the bottom line is, y'all, that when I got here, you know, I was arrogant then, and I'm still arrogant. But my arrogancy is in a positive way now. Because, see, my arrogancy keeps me here. You know, just this past April the 1st, I just celebrated 10 years, right. You know. And thank you. And see, I share a lot. And I sponsor quite a few guys, you know. And it's been said to me, you know, you talk a lot of trash. You know, but the bottom line is that some guys, when I got here, still have a bet on me that when I'm going to use. You know, my arrogance, he said, that they're never going to collect. You know, because I remember when I came down here, and I'm from Philadelphia, but I live in Maryland. You know, I came down here into a recovery house, and I had a brother already down here in recovery. And, his sponsor, which is my sponsor's sponsor, told him, you take him around for 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, show him where the meetings are, you know, and then you turn him loose. If he's going to stay, then he's going to grow or he's going to go. But you can't babysit him, hold his hand, and all this. And that's what my brother did. He took me around for 2.5 weeks, and he turned me loose. You know, I didn't have no job. I didn't know how the metro ran. You know, I didn't have too many pieces of clothing to put on. You know, I didn't have the option of changing shoes and all that type thing. You know, and it was in the wintertime when I came down here. You know, and when he turned me loose, it was snow on the ground. You know, it was cold. It was raining and all that. And I would have to walk to meetings the way that he would drive because that's the only way that I knew. And every now and then he would kick me a few dollars so that I can get on the metro. But when I get on the metro, I always winded up at the other end of where I'm supposed to be going, you know, and then don't have no more money. And then I would have to walk. And I mean, I had to walk distances. I'm talking about walking on the beltway because that's the only way that I knew. In the rain, cold, no jacket, just a sweatsuit top. And I'd go into the meetings and my nose would be running. I'd be soaking wet. I'd be cold. My feet be soaked all the way through the sneakers and the socks and all that. And all of them is sitting up in there drinking coffee and smiling and laughing and joking. You know what I'm saying? And I come up in there and I mean, you can see the steam coming off my head. And I look at them and I would say to myself, I will show them. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep showing up. You know, and what I understand now from him giving my brother that suggestion, right, is the same thing that I used to do when I was active. It didn't matter if it was raining, snowing, sunshine. It didn't care. I lived in Jersey then, and I would walk over the bridge to Philadelphia to go all the way down Philadelphia to cop, because the money that I would use on a bus would make me short. And I would walk back. You understand what I'm saying? So if I wanted this thing, if I wanted to stay here and I wanted a new way of life, then I had to go after that thing the same way I went after them drugs. You know what I mean? And I understand today that it takes work to stay here. You know what I mean? Anybody that thinks that it don't take work to stay here is in for a rude awakening. You know, my sponsor was given to me. You know, I didn't pick my sponsor. When I got here, I had picked another guy. And he said, no, I'm not your sponsor. He's your sponsor. And I said, okay. Right? So, and I still have the same sponsor today. You know, my sponsor is one of them type of guys that has no cut cards. Gives it raw and get to the exact nature. And he's not going to let me come to him setting up no type of scenario, not coming with a whole lot of bull, and not coming with the same thing over and over and over again. You know, I remember I had a job, y'all. For 24 years, I worked for the government, and I made good money. You know, and when I went into treatment, they terminated me. Went through treatment, came down here, then they sent me a check, my retirement money. I mean, they sent me some gap. You know what I'm saying? So that when I received that check, I went and got me a bank account. I went and bought me a new vehicle. I went and bought me all the gold I could put on me. You know the Mr. T starter kit, and I know y'all can relate. You understand? I went and bought some clothes. And you know that when you get with that, and haven't did no work on yourself, haven't dealt with the inside, you attracted the same type of people just like you. So I attracted them type of females. And I need to say that they passed me around like a pork chop. You need to know that they passed me like that. But the real deal is that my network, we do what we have. We have what we call Pigeon Fest. And that's where sponsors and sponsees get together, and we do step work and tradition work. And then we talk about some things that we don't sit up in the meetings and talk about. You know, we are some issues that we know, and I'm pretty sure y'all know about the NA hotline. You know what I mean? Because once it hit the hotline and y'all add y'all yeast to it, it ain't nothing like it was shared. You know what I mean? And I know some of y'all can relate, because I was one of them. That when I get something, I had to add a little bit more to make it a little more interesting. You know what I mean? And you know, somebody will tell you, now I'm telling you, but you don't tell nobody. But you got a friend you going to tell, and you tell them don't tell nobody. And they got a friend, and next thing you know, it done got back. Because you know, like a whole lot of things that's shared in the meeting, and you sharing some crucial stuff, and it'll beat you home. When you walk in the door, you know what I mean? She's standing there, swole up. Swole up. And you wondering what you done did. You know what I mean? And word for word, she repeating what you shared in a meeting. You know what I mean? The first thing I want to say is where that come from. Never mind where it come from, I know. You know, but getting back to the Pigeon Fest, after I got this money and bought this vehicle and these clothes and all this jewelry. See, I was hooked up with a network that I was plugged into. Had a strong foundation. But all of a sudden, I arrived. I have arrived. And then no males get in my vehicle. None. All females rode in my vehicle. So then, one Sunday, because we had this meeting twice a month. One Sunday, we had the meeting over my sponsor's house. And I rolled up to the house, and everybody was there already. I said, damn. And we had what you put a hot seat in the middle when somebody needs to sit on the hot seat. You know what I mean? So when I walked in there, I seen that the hot seat was empty. And I wanted to know who was the hot seat for. And they told it was for me. Because they said I was on my way up out of here. And they seen that it wasn't nothing but a matter of time before I have another hype in my neck. And my sponsor started dressing me in the pigeon fest. And my sponsor, and all of them, I'm talking about the top of what we call the top of our network. You know, the guys that got time. But see, the bottom line, what I thought then was that they were jealous of me because I didn't excel past them. So they were jealous of me. You know what I mean? I'm talking about when I had about 3 years. They were jealous of me. And when they started addressing me, the only defense that I could come up with was that we needed to rumble. You know, I had no other defense. So me and my sponsor standing nose to nose and we cussing and let's rumble. He wouldn't fight me. He's still addressing me. So I go to my grandpa, well, we rumble. Me and you rumble. I go to his sponsor, me and you rumble. Nobody would rumble because they loved me more than I was loving myself.
Yes, sir.
And they were giving me the information. So then, the only thing left for me to do is hear all this stuff about what I was doing. Because they said, first off, I turned my behind up to God. Second off, I turned my behind to them and told them to kiss it. And I started boo-hooing. I mean, you know, that booger snot cry. I know y'all can relate. You know, and they call me and my sponsor the crybabies of the network anyway, because we don't, you know, we have no problem crying, you know. So then, now my image is all shot to hell, you know. So I run out the house, I jump in my vehicle, I'm going to leave. They follow me out the house, take my keys, and say, I'm not finished with you yet. And they address my ass. See, the bottom line is what I'm talking about is a sponsor is one that'll give you, and I'm talking about my sponsor, give you the truth, uncut. And if it hurts your feelings, like, so what? You know what I mean? And what I always say is give it to me raw and save my life. Don't sugarcoat it and let me die. My sponsor is one of them uncut sponsors that lets me know. I know when I used to come to him about relationships. You know what I mean? Because I thought I was the one. I really did. You know what I mean? If she hugged me, she wanted me. And that's the real deal. You know what I mean? I thought that I could deal with 3 and 4 females at a time, and no disrespect to you ladies, but what I called it was my stable, and I had nothing but Clydesdale. You know what I'm saying? That's what I called it. You know what I mean? And I thought that I was the one. You know what I mean? I didn't understand that I was so sick, and I was dealing with the ones that was a sick as me. You know what I'm saying? And then when they say you cut off, you know what I mean? Because you don't serve your purpose. Now it's time for you to go. But I wasn't finished yet. I would run to my sponsor And I would tell him. And my sponsor say, well, I'm going to give you this suggestion. And you, this is what you need to do. I say, okay. But I would snatch them out of meetings. My grand sponsor. My sponsor. I would take them out of meetings in the middle of the meeting. I need to talk, man. I'm going through. I need to talk right now. Y'all need to come on out here. And they would come out there. And they would talk to me. And every other week, I was pulling them out of meetings. Finally, my sponsor looked at me. And he told me, he said, man, I got the rambling. And he looked at me and he told me, he said, man, I'm doing what I need to do. Maybe you need to do what you need to do. And turned around and walked away. Oh, no. Yeah, no. This man ain't turned his back on me and walked away. Because for real, I'm still the giant in my own mind. And don't he know who I am? You know what I mean? But the bottom line is that when I came to him with the same thing over and over and over again, he wasn't having it. So in other words, it made me do some work. It made me understand that the brothers was giving me the information that I need. And it was left on me to incorporate it and use it in my life for me to get better. Because I still was doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. And I do what I do, I get what I get. Me and my sponsor talk. And when we talk, it's about the exact nature, what's happening, what we need to do. And in my network, you know, one of the things in the belief that I have and the belief that they have is that if we don't have no experience, strength, and hope to give on something, we don't speak on it. It's just like if we in a step or tradition meeting and we haven't worked that step or tradition with your sponsor, you do not share on it. You can ask questions, but you don't share on it. You know, if you go to enough meetings, you'll hear somebody share on something that maybe you got to direct somebody to them to get the information. Because I tell a person in the heartbeat, you can hold on to your damn opinion. If you ain't been there, then you can't help me. You can support me, but you can't give me no information on it. You know what I mean? And they tell me, you so damn arrogant. I'm trying to stay here, y'all. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to feed my guys that I sponsor bullshit. Because see, the tables reverse. You know what I mean? When I'm going through, or I'm all up in here, them same guys that I gave that information to have to give it back to me. And if I feed them bullshit, then what I'm going to get back is bullshit. You know what I mean? And that's what my sponsor tells me. You know, and I love my sponsor. I love him dearly, and he has became one of my best friends because we cultivated a relationship. You know, our relationship was built on trust. You understand? Communication. You know what I mean? We had no cut cards and we didn't hold back nothing. And a lot of times I just call my sponsor to ask him, how's he doing? A lot of time, when he called me early on a Saturday morning, wake me up, you know what I mean? That means I need to get up because he's going through. You know what I mean? And he want to hang and he need to talk. See, it's a two-way street, y'all. For me, anyway. You know what I mean? I can't keep drawing and drawing and can't give back. You know what I mean? I have to keep doing the work in order to help somebody else that I'm sponsoring, you know, that I don't feed them no misinformation. You know, because a lot of times it's a lot of misinformation going around. And because it's been done a certain way for so long, don't make it right. Don't make it right. You know, I have no problem sending my sponsees or my sponsors sending me to the basic text. You know, read this, write on this. We are writing network. We believe in writing on everything. You know, I mean writing on every damn thing. You know, and then going over it. You know, and a lot of times I done had guys in my life that cannot take it raw. Now, you know that when you were out there, or when I was out there, I mean, they used to talk to me any kind of way they wanted to talk to me. Now, all of a sudden, I come up in here, you know what I mean, and somebody tell me to sit my ass on the front row, shut the hell up and listen, and I got a problem with that. You know what I mean? But I come in here, and I ask you for help, but in the same breath, I want to tell you how to help me. In the same breath, I want to tell you the help that I need. So then I don't need to ask for no help if I'm going to tell you the help that I need. You know what I mean? Raise my hand in a meeting and share something. I need to be open and not leave out for the feedback that come back. You know what I mean? I truly believe that I, because when I come in here and share it, I'm going to share what I'm going through, how I got through it, to the other side without picking up a drink, a drug, or acting out. You know, the bottom line is, y'all, that sponsors don't have to be a friend. Sponsors is somebody that guides you through the 12 steps and traditions. You know, give you some suggestions and directions on how to incorporate some spiritual principles that you get out of doing your step work in your life from the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, any time that I look at someone to sponsor me, you know what I mean, I need to look at my motives for picking that person. You know what I mean? Because they're popular. You know, they dress well. You know what I mean? Because they speak well. Or because they walk in this thing. And they have the information and they're incorporating it. You know, I haven't had the experience of my sponsor being my foe. I don't have that experience. Because me and my sponsor, I mean, we have argued. We have disagreed. But before it was all over, we had straightened that thing out. You know what I mean? Because we talk like that. And we disagree on a lot of things. But we talk it out. You know what I mean? I got some sponsees that swell up on me. That swell up on me. And cuss me out. You know? But the bottom line is, I tell them in a heartbeat, man, you go ahead and feel what you're feeling. You know what I mean? If I hurt your feelings, like, so what? It'll pass. You know what I mean? And they might not call me for a couple days. And that's all right, but they'll call me. You know what I mean? They'll call me. And some of my sponsees hang with me, and some of them don't. You know what I mean? And, I mean, it's okay. You know what I mean? As I grow in this program, and my status has changed up in here from when I was single to now I'm married. And my sponsor's not married. Me and my sponsor used to be together, you know, 90% of the time. Now we're not together that much no more. But when we get together, it's quality time. You know, when we spend some time together, when we talk, you know. And I remember my sponsor telling me, You know, I miss us being together like we used to be. He said, but I understand that you have something else going on that you have to do. But that don't change our relationship and our love for one another. You know what I mean? And when he needs me to be there, I'm there. When I need him, he's there. You know what I mean? And that's the same with my network. You know, and when I say my network, you know, I'm one of them persons that I'm a people person. And I talk to everybody. you know, but I have an immediate network whom I trust to the utmost and whom I share everything with, that I know that when I share it with them, that it ain't going nowhere. You know, and you know, I heard Nikki talk about medication, you know, and I remember talking to a guy one time about I was going to have this biopsy done, and they were going to put me to sleep, and they was going to give me this Demerol and stuff, and y'all, I shot dope. You know what I mean? And I told them that they were going to kick my addiction all over again off. Y'all going to have me coming up out of here shooting dope. You know, and a guy came up to me and said, man, you know, you need to stop talking that old bullshit. You know, for real, what you want to do is you want to shoot some dope. And I said, no, not really. And then another guy came up to me and told me, he said, man, take out the basic text and read page 98 and 99. You know, where they tell you in the basic text that it was prescribed by a doctor. You know what I mean? And I don't have a medical degree. Not the one that I got off the corner. You know what I mean? I'm talking about a medical degree. Then I need to follow what the doctor says. You know, so, and you know, I heard you share that. And that was my experience with that thing. So then, you know, the same information that I get, I pass down. And it comes down, it trickles downhill. You know, I do the research. My sponsor does the research. His sponsor does the research. And one thing that I believe in, see, my sponsor goes to meetings. You know, his sponsor goes to meetings. And his sponsor goes to meetings. You know, another suggestion that my sponsor told me was that don't suggest things to your sponsees that you're not doing. He said, you have to be an example. And if you're going to suggest for them to do something, then you need to be doing it too. You know, and I come to find out that that works. You know, when I came in here, I had leaned over because my sponsee brother was sitting right next to me. You know, and as Nikki was sharing, I was saying, you know, my stomach's flipping. You know, and I don't know what I'm going to... He said, man, you know, just take it easy. It'll be all right when you get up there. You know, and it is all right. Because, see, what I'm sharing is my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not sharing my opinion. I'm sharing what I've been through. You know, and how things have happened in my life and how it has enhanced my life. And how my life has gotten better. Because I'm not the same person that I was when I got here. I'm not even the same person that I was yesterday. You know, and I came down here, right? And I've been down here since early this morning. I'm real tired. You know, and I wanted to go lay down. I say, no, but if I lay down, I'm going to go to sleep. And I'm not going to get up. So I had to stay up. You know, and I say, well, as soon as this is over, as soon as it's over, I'm going to bed. You know, because I've been rolling all morning. You know, I had to call the guys that I rolled down here with and wake them up. So, because I'm one of them persons that if you say you're going to be at my house at 6 o'clock, then I expect you at my house at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And if we tell you to be ready, then I expect you to be rolling out the door when we pull up in the driveway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, me and one of my sponsees is sharing a room, right? And another good friend of mine, and I need to say he's one of my sponsees too, because I've been talking to him since he's been here. And his sponsee came down, right? And everybody's been approaching me because my wife is at the convention too, right? And her recovery group is in rooms. Well, man, you know, you don't come to a convention and not stay with your wife. You and your wife should be in the same room.
And they feed me this type of information, and all of a sudden I'm starting to go up here with this committee. You know what I mean? Yeah, what's going on? You know, but the bottom line is her recovery, and my recovery is my recovery. You know what I mean? If I listen to a whole lot of bullshit, you know what I mean, I'll get with that committee, and that committee needs to tell me to go on over to a hotel room and tell her, well, you need to come the hell up out of there, and we need to go get a room. But the bottom line is that I need to focus on my recovery, she needs to focus on her recovery, and the decision that we made for her to come down there with her group, do her recovery thing with her group, and for me to do this my thing with my recovery group is our decisions and nobody else's. Nobody else's. But people will come at you. You know. And what they're doing is they're fishing for information. They want to know what's going on. Why is she over there and you over there? You know what I'm saying? And what I need to tell them, what is it to you? Where the hell she's at? You know what I'm saying? But you know, that disease in me and that dope fiend in me, you know, if I stand there and listen to that bullshit long enough, I'm going to go up here with this committee, and what they're saying is going to start making some damn sense. And in turn, with it making some sense, then I'm getting ready to create some chaos up in my marriage. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of times. You know, what I have to do, you know what I mean? It's just like my sponsor did to me. When you start talking outside of your neck, all I need to do is turn and walk. You know what I mean? My grand sponsor say, you know, if I stand and listen to that bullshit long enough, then I'm going to start feeding into it. If I walk away, then you know I don't want to hear that shit. And don't follow me. You know what I'm saying? Don't follow me. You know, so if you don't have a sponsor, get one. It's only one thing that I don't look at, you know, and it ain't one that I'm trying to knock anything that Nikki said or anything like that, but I truly believe that I don't have a temporary disease, so I don't need a temporary sponsor. And I tell them guys when they ask me that, you know, if you got a temporary disease, then you need to find somebody, because that's just like having a temporary heart attack. You know what I mean? It's only temporary. It'll go away. You know what I mean? This disease is here. So I tell them I'll walk with them. And then if you need to move on, you find somebody else, then you move on. You know, so if you don't have a sponsor, get one. If you're sponsoring yourself, you're sponsoring a damn fool. You know what I mean? And I truly believe that if you ask them for help, don't tell them in the same breath on how to help you. Because I knew that when I came in here, I'm long-winded too, man, I know. You know, when I came in here, you know what I mean? I didn't know how to live life on life terms. I didn't know anything about recovery, so I had to ask y'all to help me. You know what I mean? I had to ask y'all what I need to do, how I needed to do it, and follow your suggestions. It's just like, a real close friend of mine always say, you know, a lot of times, you know, we'll say that we don't have to take suggestions or directions. It's our choice. But a lot of times, it's like he said, going up in an airplane and parachuting, it's suggested that you pull the ripcord. It's only suggested. Don't pull it. And the only thing that I'm saying is that this program is like life or death for me. You know what I mean? I do not take me serious, but I take this program real serious. Because I know where I was at when I got here. You know what I mean? And I know that it's only through grace and mercy that I'm still here, and me doing the necessary footwork that I need to do. And that's the maintenance work on my recovery. And the last thing, and I'm going to close, if you never leave the basics, you don't never have to come back. I keep coming back, y'all. Thanks for letting me share.
Ulysses, y'all. About a hand for both our speakers, Nikki and Ulysses.